You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another hopefully abbreviated episode of Clock Radio Speakers. But just by saying that it's abbreviated and by starting off the show saying that this episode may be abbreviated, we're going three sides.
I hope not.
Yeah, I hope not, but we'll see. I'm your co-host, Armand Wake Up. You can follow me on all social media at Armand Wake Up, A-R-M-O-N-D, Wake Up, all one word. More important than that, please, please, please follow the official Clock Radio Speakers Twitter handle, which is at CRS Podcast. ClockRadioSpeakers.com, powered by Tumblr. All previous 300 episodes are there, as well as Stitcher, as well as iTunes, as well as Google Play, Spotify, everywhere you get podcasts except for SoundCloud, because they are trash. And Doc's in the building. What's up, man?
Oh, man, everything's good. Y'all can follow me on Twitter if you want, at Doc underscore beats, S not a Z. But like Armand said, just follow the show at CRS Podcast. No, man, things are good. I'm, it's been a big week and a half for us on the Apple side of things.
Yes. Before we get into that,
yeah.
I noticed this yesterday. You ever notice when you ask somebody that maybe you haven't spoken to in a while, you ask them what's new? They immediately say nothing, and right. Then they tell you everything new that's going on. Why do you say nothing first and then contradict that with the statement immediately after it?
Because if you go to someone and say, hey, how's it going? And they say, oh, whew. Like, you're first of all, do you really want to be in that conversation? And if you do, you are sort of like girding yourself and like waiting and being like, you're like tensing up and going, all right, tell me all about it. Or maybe that's just because I'm a bad person. But like, you know, that's how it, like you kind of saw, you go, oh, nothing. But since you asked, let me say X, Y, Z, et cetera.
Gotcha. Okay.
I think, yeah, it's one of those things where, I don't know, people always feel like you never want to bother anybody.
Absolutely.
Because like, absolutely. There are very few people for who you can say, you know, they say, how you feeling? And you're like, man, I thought today was it.
Like, you know, and lately,
like, everybody has like, I mean, maybe you have like 10 people. Most people don't have that many people they can say that to.
Not at all. They say Jesus's greatest miracle was having 12 friends in his 30s. Like, I've lately been challenging that. Like, if somebody asks me how I'm doing, I'm going to tell you, nope, not feeling it today. Been in a bad space this week. I'll take the awkward tension. If you're going to ask me, like, be prepared for the answer.
Part of the problem is it's always like things can be so asymmetrical, right? And what sure. I mean by that is like one part of your life could be full of drama or have sure. just stuff that you're wrestling with and tough questions. But the other side of your life is like me where it's like, oh man, my iPhone XS pre-order situation didn't work how I wanted. I guess I'm kind of bummed about that.
I mean, sometimes like for real, sometimes you can have first world problems, as much as we downplay them, can definitely negatively affect your mood.
That was me last night. I was real salty, even though it was one of those things where like in the moment I could actually sit there and I was like, it's just a phone. Who cares? Like, yeah. Really, who cares? Like, yeah. I'm so like I'm blessed to be even able to like call this like a problem. But it was more like,
absolutely.
For me, sometimes I'll just get like angry enough at myself for like messing something up that I can still go, it's stupid, but then I'm like, but I'm so mad at myself. Like, you just can't, just because you acknowledge and you can go, nah, it's not a big deal. You can't just wipe the slate clean.
Sure. So which iPhone did you get?
Well, let me take y'all back to Friday morning.
Don't ever take me back.
Friday morning.
Okay, Friday morning.
Friday morning in the S not a Z household. Okay. Set the alarm for 2:55 a.m.
Oh my God.
Because they go on sale at 3.
You know what? I can't even say that because I got the new Yeezys and I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning to get them. So never mind. You got it.
You got the waves? I can't even
judge you. Yeah, I got the wave runners. Yep.
Okay. Got up at Apple. The way they do it is you do the Apple Store app on your phone, of course. So like the day before you can set it up. So you go, okay, here's this phone. And because Marissa and I are both on the annual upgrade plan, so we can get a new iPhone every year. Great. Mm-hmm. Went ahead, put all our info in, pre-selected which like model you want, which is ideal because that way it's not 3 a.m. and you're like, ah, wait, which one did Marissa say she want? You know, like it's all done. All you have to do is go in, hit a couple things, approve, use this face ID to scan my face, and yes, I am who I say I am, and go ahead and pay.
Oh my God.
Great.
Wow. Okay.
And so I'm like, awesome. So I take care of all that, go, and then I'm doing that, and for whatever reason, it's giving me all these problems where, like, I couldn't pick it up in store, I'd have to have it delivered, which is complicated because I'm not going to be at my house on Friday. Anyway, all this, but I was like, whatever, it's fine.
Yep.
So then last night, I get an automated email from Apple saying, we canceled one of your pre-orders. And I was like, excuse me, you did what?
What? Huh?
Right. Now, pardon? They're saying, I don't know if this is possible, I guess I messed it up in the middle of the night when I on that Friday morning, where basically I put the same order in, like, attached to the same phone number instead of two separate phone numbers.
Oh, come on.
Now, that doesn't make sense to me because, like, it recognized I had these two separate iPhones attached to my account and blah, 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 but whatever. So, they, of course, they canceled mine, the one that I wanted, which was the XS regular, not the Max, 256 gigs of memory in black.
Okay.
And so, what's coming is Marissa's XS 256 regular in silver, but attached to my number.
Oh my God. So you have to go to the Apple store and get that all the way fixed, right?
Maybe. I called Apple because, you know, I was an indignant white man with privilege. And so I said to myself, this shall not stand. Called up Apple and I was like, you know, spoke to a very nice lady who obviously could not help me at all. And I was like, can you just cancel this one then? And I'll just go ahead and do it right now. And I'm sure there's a delay in shipping and all that, but, like, I don't even want to get this other one because it's going to be all messed up and I don't have time to go to the Apple store on Friday. Like, no, just let's start over. And she's like, it's already shipping out. I can't cancel the order. And so I was just kind of like, I did the thing where I was like, listen, like, I know that you can't fix this, but, like, if you have any way to, like, communicate complaints up the chain, like, before y'all just go and cancel my order, you know,
yeah,
you have every way possible to get in touch with me.
Absolutely.
They couldn't have an automated thing. You have 24 hours to go to this website and correct blah blah blah. They just canceled it. So long story short, I don't know when I'm getting the phones, and I was all sorts of salty, and I was like, you know what, I don't even need these phones, I'm fine, I can ride this out.
Oh,
and whoever, whatever.
God, that wasn't gonna happen.
No. And then I saw a review today and I was like, Apple did that. So it's really funny, right? Because during the Steve Jobs era, Apple got this rep of, like, they were really good at selling. And, like, when Steve Jobs was up there, he could sell anybody on anything, right? And that became kind of like the myth of, like, Apple, like, fanboys, quote unquote, was like, oh, you'll take, they're just selling and you're just taking whatever they sell, right?
Mm-hmm.
The irony now is they're not really that great at actually selling, like, the things that are really awesome about, they actually sometimes undersell the products in some ways and oversell them in others. Because it turns out that even though they said, oh yeah, the camera's improved, blah, 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 the camera is dramatically improved. And, like, people are posting, like, you know, reviewers are posting comparison shots between even last year, like my 10, which is great, and the new one. And it's like, oh no, that's, like, super noticeable. Like, that'll actually fix problems. Like, that's what I want to see. And they suck me right back in. So here's how, this is gonna be so annoying. I'm not at the house at all on Friday. So it's gonna get delivered and there, except it won't be delivered, right? Cause I gotta be there for the signature, which means they're gonna leave the stupid little note on the door. So then I got to go online, tell them hold at the UPS or FedEx place, got to go there on Saturday, pick it up, then immediately go to the Apple store, return it, and then immediately at the Apple store say, okay, now put in the new correct orders. And I'm just alive. So that's the first world problem I was super mad at.
That's a lot. That's a lot.
What's going to be terrible is when I go in to return it, I know I'm going to sit there and look at the new watches and be like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
You are. All right. There's your day.
Man.
That's your Friday.
That's my Saturday. And we're, you know.
Do you have UPS? Do you have UPS My Choice?
Yeah.
And you have the UPS app?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's an app that you're, like, embarrassed to say that you
did. I'm not embarrassed, no.
Yeah.
Listen,
yeah.
If you get a lot of stuff delivered, right? Because you're on Apple stuff now, right?
Yeah.
All right. There's an app, you gotta pay for it, but it's worth it. It's called Deliveries.
Okay.
And basically it's like a place where you, like, can copy and you, like, can put all your different things. If you are somebody who orders a lot of things and has them shipped to your house.
That would be me.
All right. You put all, like, no matter what service, you can just copy and paste the tracking number and it's, like, smart and it recognizes, oh, that's a FedEx number. Let me go look that up. and it puts all the details in and tracks it and can send you push notifications. Like, it's one app.
I'm looking at it right. Yeah, instead of freaking all of my stuff. Huh. Okay. Dang, it's $5 though? $5?
If it makes you feel any better, I have owned that app for like 6 years and they've never charged for an upgrade or switched it up, or like they just improve it and always add support. Like, they just keep selling it. So
$5. Good Lord. That's okay.
Okay. Right. You should let's go. I was going to say, what's the most expensive app I've paid for on my phone?
That's I've definitely question. Paid like, I think the most I've probably paid either $10 or $12 for an app.
You know what they get you with now is like the yearly like subscription.
Yes.
I pay for a yearly subscription for my podcast app. I pay for...
You have a podcast? What's wrong with the native app on Apple?
Oh, Overcast is the best.
Okay.
We could talk about apps all day. Anyway, which wasn't even supposed to talk about. This is why you say we're going to record for 3 hours. This is how
it's
happens.
Already 8 o'clock. We got an hour. I put us on an unofficial time clock that if we weren't done by 9 o'clock, I was just going to laugh profusely. So we'll see how this goes.
So what's going on with you, man?
I did the Power Columbus hippity hop rappity rap cipher on Saturday for the radio station here in Columbus. So shout out to a friend of the show, Yavis, for facilitating that. Future mayor of Columbus, absolutely. Shout out to all the other MCs who were there. Dominic LaRue, Trip Fontaine, what was the other guy's name? Prodigal was the other guy. It was his first cipher. So, you know, shout out to him for kicking that off. It was okay. It was cool.
But my ish was more John Blaze than that.
No, I'm not talking about the raps. Just like it. I think what made me mad was we got there at 1:30. We were told to get there at 1:30.
Okay.
First of all, let me tell you the list of the beats that they asked us to rap over.
This was my next question is, did you get mad because they give you bad beats?
No. Well, okay. First of all, and I'll just say this before I go back, but like they gave me Dead Wrong. Ooh. I'm not crazy about Dead Wrong.
That's an interesting, it's a different, for you, that's an interesting kind of tempo and feel.
Yeah, I think people who know me know that I'm better on faster tempos. Mm-hmm. And by faster, it's like upper 80s, lower to mid 90s. Like I skate on those. And I can go faster than that, but like that's kind of my wheelhouse. But they gave me Dead Wrong. But when they sent out the email, one of the intern, one of the radio interns, the three beats they picked were Nicki Minaj, Good Form.
Uh-huh.
Young Dolph, Get Paid.
Did you say who? I'm just kidding.
Ironically, that was the one that I picked originally because it's minimal. It's like upper 80s BPM. There's not a whole lot going on. Like I could have got my bars off to that. And then the third one was Yo Gotti's FU. I can't rap about Jesus over Millie Jackson singing FU in different tones and in cadences. Didn't work. So we got there at 1:30. We were told, okay, yeah, you'll probably get on at like 3. All right, cool. I get that. Like, so what happens? You get there at a certain time. It's a radio station. They're broadcasting. They got to do all this stuff there. They got prizes. They got other acts. Okay, cool. And 3:30 turned to 3:45, 3:45 turned into 4. And so we were there for 2.5 hours. I'm too old for a day party. I'm not trying to go to a day party. I had things to do that day.
You gotta go to Home Depot.
Yeah, I gotta do like old man, early 30s stuff, man. Like, get out of here. I'm moving in a couple weeks. I need to like, you know, gather some things. And so we get up there, and then Yav is like, man, I'm sorry. I know they had you pick those terrible beats on the email, but like, we got you. So the DJ, and I'm not friends with him, but I know him. Shout out to Mr. King. He was like, all right, I know what y'all want. Like, I got you.
So that real hip hop.
Yeah, that real, yeah. Like, so y'all want like Wu, Nas, Biggie, da da da. I was like, yeah. They were like, yeah. And in the back of my mind, I was like, I kind of wanted the Young Dolph.
Like, I kind of realized what I wanted to rap about for that beat.
I picked the beat based off of the verse. And I said, okay, the verse that I, and it was like a hybrid of two verses, put them together. Cause I was already fighting. The original verse was, the original concept was going to be 16 bars. I'm like, that's not a cipher if you're only giving me 16. So I fought for 48 and we met in the middle at 32. Nobody counted their bars whatsoever. I probably went the shortest. And yeah, it was cool. It was okay. I went third. I did my thing. It was okay. It was cool. Shout out to the radio station.
Okay.
Cool opportunity. So that's it. Just that. Waiting on these Yeezys. And I got a show with Swoop next week. Another friend of the show in Akron, Ohio. And that's it. We in the streets.
You used to get it in Ohio.
Used to get it. Definitely. Listen. Listen. Somebody sat me. I think I've shared this on the show, but I've definitely been sat down by some Columbus OGs and told some stories about Cameron and his experiences in Ohio in the mid-2000s. Living what he rapped about. But let's get into what we want to talk about this week. What's up? What's good?
We can start. Let's see. We've got your man Marshall Mathers. We've got your man Kanye West. But we could start real small.
What's small?
Just a single song.
Okay, what's that?
It's the return of Lil Wayne and Swizz Beatz.
Listen, let me tell y'all something. I'm convinced that Swizz listens to this podcast.
Now, why do you say that?
Because he has clearly been stewing, waiting to prove Armand and Doc wrong all these years of slander, because he's coming out the gate firing this new album, right?
Yes, sir.
What's the name of the new album? Do you know?
Poison.
Okay. Okay. Can't trust a big button to smile. I get it. Okay. So Poison. And the name of this Wayne single is called Pistol on My Side.
Pistol on My Side.
This record is hard.
Pistol on My Side definitely sounds like a Jim Jones song.
It definitely. And as an acronym, it's definitely Jim Jones. Product of My Environment, Pistol on My Side, same thing. Yeah, this record is tough. I like it. I like it. It's not something that I've gone to since I heard it the first time. But when I heard it, I was like, okay, cool. Wayne sounds rejuvenated.
Wayne sounds great. I didn't really need the Alicia Keys piano switch up halfway through.
Come on, man. That's no different than having Marissa on the show. gotta get your girl the bag, man. I get it.
But the original pianos are hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm looking at the track list right now.
Okay.
So for this is for Swizz's upcoming album, which is November.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Is that right? November 2nd.
Okay. Spooky.
Yeah. Yeah. So the Pistol on My Side record, your man Giggs on Come Again.
Wait, Giggs like Batman? Dun, 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 dun?
That would be the one.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The other record you were talking about with Kendrick, Jada, and Styles P called Something Dirty.
That record is hard. I need the full version of that. Putting Jadakiss and Kendrick Lamar on a record together is a really good idea.
Yeah. Super, super, super dope sample.
Mm-hmm.
Your man Jim Jones, Preach.
Okay.
Echo featuring Nas.
Okay.
Cold Blooded featuring Pusha T.
Okay.
Your man Young Thugga on a record.
Nope.
And a record called Stunt with 2 Chainz, which better be just beautiful.
Yeah, 2 Chainz over a Swiss track might be very interesting.
And it's executive produced by Swizz Beatz and J. Cole.
All right. All right.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Okay. Okay, that's interesting. Sure. Okay. Let Jumanji get some looks. I'll reserve judgment.
There you go.
I'll reserve judgment.
No, but you know, Swizz is, you know, there's kind of a nice, I think there's a good opportunity for him to come out with this kind of music. Right? Like he's, neither of these beats sound like they are, like he's trying to, you know, run with the, you know, with the young heads right now.
Yeah, he's not doing what the youths are doing.
No, he's making hard 90s-ish records.
Yep.
Which is totally fine.
Early 2000s. Just make different variations of Jurassic Harlem, and I'm fine.
The the drums on that Wayne record, I was like, oh, he's going back now.
Yep. It reminded me of like, oh, when did Bigger Business come out?
04? No, 04, nah. 05? Was it, no. Was it earlier than that? 02 maybe?
Yeah, it's like 02.
Oh, yeah. 02, Ghetto Stories. 02.
Ghetto Stories. It reminded me of that era, which wasn't, you know, I wasn't slandering that era, Swiss. I wasn't mad at the era, Swiss. I'm cool with that.
All right. What else is going on now? You want to talk about your man, Marshall Mathers?
Yeah, let's get this out the way.
So, previously on Clack Radio Speakers.
Uh-huh.
I believe we talked about the MGK disc record. We did, right?
Yeah, we said it was good.
It was good. It was a good record, you know. Yep. Kind of went maybe a little long, but you know, it's all
good. Come on, man. If your idol says your name,
right,
you're gonna have a lot to say about him, even if you don't mean it.
So the Eminem has decided to respond. He had put out a record called Killshot.
Well, prior to that,
oh yeah, please.
He's done 8-part interviews with Sway, and he talked about MGK, and he was wrestling with the idea of if I respond to MGK, it makes him famous, it brings notoriety to his name. In the famous words of Jay-Z, if I shoot you, I'm brainless. If you shoot me, you're famous. But I guess one side won, clearly, and we got a diss record maybe a day or two later.
Yeah. So it's called Killshot. How did you feel about this song?
I actually didn't mind it. I thought it was straight.
It was better than I expected. I mean, I don't think either of us really liked that much the Eminem album. I certainly didn't like it.
Yeah, you definitely didn't. I wasn't mad at it at all.
You know, yes, it's M rapping over a trap beat, but honestly, I think this works way better than, I don't know, everything on the album.
He's skating on this tempo.
He's not trying to break the world speed record for rapping.
Yeah,
he's very switching clear. It up. He's mm-hmm. but he's very clear. It mm-hmm. doesn't sound like a gimmick.
Mm-hmm. He sounds like he's having fun and he's rejuvenated. He sounds engaged. Irked. Yeah, he sounds, but he's irked, engaged, and interested.
Yeah,
like. He was irked. It's a different type of irk. Like, irked because people don't like your album is like an insecure irk. But irked for somebody who wants to battle you for an MC, like rappity rapper, is like, that's a good kind of irk. That's a good irritant. So I love the way, I love the feel that he gave off on this diss record. Like, he wanted to do this. And I think he did his thing. I'm not mad at the diss at all. I thought it was clear. I thought the disses were good. He responded to everything. The response, I'm happy with it. I'm good.
Yeah, I mean, you know, almost no diss records are perfect. Like, there's a lot of complaining about stuff that's minor. He's definitely doing some random name, not random, but like what I would call like old name dropping. In a sense, it's like, all right, we get it, Benzino, and that. But you know, it's actually pretty good. And honestly, that line about having to give MGK a career just to destroy it, that was kind of, I was like, okay,
that was hard.
That was kind of hard.
That was hard.
Yeah.
And nobody talks about that. Everybody, I'm not shocked, but I'm actually a little annoyed that people were downplaying this record.
It's harder when you are punching down.
I don't even think that was why people weren't crazy about it. I think that people have this idea. It's twofold. I said this on Twitter. First of all, Eminem has the reputation of being the quintessential battle rapper. So I think people were listening with a certain expectation versus listening for what they got, which is why I always say, go back and listen to an album that you didn't like or whatever. Like, after all the hype has died down, listen to it again. Because you can hear it without your expectations, without what you wanted, like, because that'll muddy your ears. And I also feel like MGK, just like, he got a lot of credit because people didn't expect him to respond. And the response was good. So good turns into great when people don't have any expectations.
Right. That's kind of what I was trying to get at when I was saying punching down, right? I mean,
okay. Got you.
It's you know, to look at previous beefs, right? You look at 2 years, was it 3 years ago? Three years ago, you look at Drake and Meek, right? Mm-hmm. Where the expectations for Drake were not that high.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was able to take advantage of that.
Very true. Very true. Yep.
That always happens. Like, there's things that matter in disc records, right? Is sort of, to me, there's like the imbalance of stature or reputation between the two participants, and also imbalance of like both like career stature as well as like sort of like reputational, like, are you a quote unquote hard MC, or are you a battle MC, or something like that, right? So so MGK got to take advantage of that, and you know, he seems to not really be, I think, I don't know, the fact that like Eminem keeps talking about him, like, that's good for MGK.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because like, let's say nothing else happens, this kind of dies out. When his next album comes out, like, that's one of the things that like everybody's gonna want to talk to him about.
Mm-hmm.
And so he gets to kind of eat off this, and you know, it's not quite clear to me why M responded, except that, I don't know, when it comes down to it, sometimes you feel like a little prideful, and you want to, you know, maybe set things right. Or who knows? He might have been a little sensitive to some of the reaction. I mean, he's very clearly sensitive to the reaction that his music gets. So maybe he still feels like he's got something to prove. But
I just think he wanted the battle rap.
I mean, that might be it too.
I just think he wanted the battle rap. I think all of your guesses have some credence to him. But I think he just wanted to battle somebody, and I think that worked.
He's trying to lure Joe Budden, isn't he?
No.
I don't think so. Because he keeps giving him these little like one-liners.
He gave him a little tap. I think the Budden battle is a little more complicated, and that's not really giving credit to Joe, because the more I listen to Joe, I think that there's like, when it comes to Slaughterhouse, the more I get from the story, I really think M had the best intentions for the group. I don't disagree with that. I just think that he just didn't, you know, he just didn't go about it the right way. I think everybody is kind of guilty of what happened. I think there were some mistakes made, which is fine. But I think it's a little deeper, and I think the MGK battle is more, when I say softball, I don't mean the MGK is a slouch, but I think it's just bars versus a Joe Budden battle that might have a little bit of extra stuff to it that just M may not be wanting to deal with. The M just may not be wanting to deal with, which I get. There's nothing wrong with that. But yeah, I liked it. I liked it.
There you go. It did big enough numbers on YouTube. It might pop up on the charts, actually, which would be kind of amazing.
Okay.
That's how streaming works now, right? Like, we'll talk about him in probably just a second, but like, your man Kanye, right? That I Love It record did huge on YouTube, and boom, there it is on the charts.
We gotta talk about that record.
Is there anything else you want to talk about before we get to Mr. West?
Yeah. I don't know if we should talk about this now or later, but we got to fight.
Before we fight, one other thing that came to mind. Let me pause you there for a second. You know what? You know how like Facebook has like Facebook memories?
Sure.
Right. So what popped up in my I happened to check today.
Mm-hmm.
It has been 10 years. Mm-hmm. This makes me feel old. It's been 10 years since Lloyd Banks Without You was released.
Wow.
10 years.
Congratulations. That was a good day. I remember that day.
That was a good day.
That was a good day. For those of you who don't know, Without You is a record that Doc produced for Lloyd Banks that ended up on, was that Money in the Bank 5?
I don't even remember what project that was on. PLK.
Right? Okay. I don't know.
What was that? Because I ended up doing 4 for Banks. 4, yeah.
Did you do 4?
I did 4.
Did you?
Yeah. And let's not get it confused, everybody. I didn't get paid a dime for any of it. Nothing.
It's on Return of the PLK.
Return of the PLK. Yeah. Yep.
Wow, how many? Okay, so you did that. I know you did.
Never Enough.
Oh, Never Enough. Can we play these records? Okay.
Go ahead. What do you got?
Where's my, oh man, my iPad is in my bedroom, but I've got my phone. Oh my God.
Haven't heard that in a long time.
I haven't either. Just to let you guys know, just to give you guys a quick heads up, these are all beats that I turned down. I was like, nah, that was cool. I did not turn down Without You. I definitely didn't turn this down. Shut up, Bukid. Yeah, it's hard. That record. That's probably my favorite Banks and Doc collab. Hold on, and then you did a Poopy City Part 2, right?
That's right. And then there was one other one, wasn't there?
Was it?
Yeah. Hold on. You think I would know? Oh yeah, I did Playhouse.
Did you? Okay, what's, oh, I definitely did not turn down Playhouse. I did something to Playhouse. Yeah, I did something to this. Oh my God. Those beats. Yeah, I gotta put these on my Apple Music. Those beats that you made around 2007, 2008, I had just gotten married. And so, like, we moved into a house, and, like, you were, like, I found the folder. There's, like, a subfolder with those, that era of beats in
I'm sure there
in
is.
My Dropbox. Man, we gotta revisit some of those.
Bring them
some
back.
Of the records is hard. Yeah, some of those records are hard now. But yeah, okay, yeah, congratulations. 10 years. Good stuff, man. I'm proud of you.
That's oh, yeah, up. And I just realized I have the instrumentals for all those up on my sound, even though SoundCloud is trash. Apparently, I do have a SoundCloud page.
You do have a SoundCloud page.
I do have a SoundCloud page.
It's got the Sweeter remix on it. It's got a few things on it.
Yeah, I got a couple things on there.
Yeah.
Along with the all the records I did with Storm P, right? And I was going to say that Without You record is basically the spiritual successor to Put Me in Coach.
Where if you go on YouTube.
Let's not.
It's how ahead of the curve Doc. I mean, Doc was in a Rick Cordero video, which is like, Rick Cordero is like he's the hot sauce of independent video makers. Like when he came on the scene, it's like the first time you saw the N1 mixtape volume 3 and Hot Sauce put the ball in his shirt and spent it around. That's what Rick Cordero was doing. It went from $50,000, $100,000, $200,000 videos to $5,000 videos.
Right.
Like he completely changed the game.
Now I'm looking at these old, oh man, Momentous is.
Momentous, baby! Oh man, we gotta go down.
And of course, Passport was the one that changed it all for me. That was when it clicked. I went from making terrible beats to better beats.
Well, hold on, what's Storm P Passport? I wonder, is that on YouTube?
It's on my SoundCloud, but that's it.
Oh, it's on SoundCloud, okay.
Anyway, I was like 10 years.
Man. That's crazy.
I remember when that happened. Oh my God.
Yeah. I think I was gone. I was gone. I think I was doing something in the military.
Yeah.
And when you came back, when I came back and we linked back up, you were like, yeah, did a whole project with Storm. I was like, all right.
You're like,
and it
cool.
Was hard. No, it was hard. It was hard. Yeah. You got some joints. So what's up, man?
All right, man. You said you need to have some words with me.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We got to fight. Okay. First of all, Meet the Parents is not a better beat than What We Do.
Meet the Parents. What We Do is, it's really solid.
This concludes every single episode of Clock Radio Speakers we will ever do.
I like the beat to What We Do, but Meet the Parents is
That song is amazing. It's very underrated in Jay-Z's catalog. But like a beat? Better beat?
Yeah. Nah. I mean, I should have put, Lyrical Exercise is a better beat than what we do.
Nah.
Nope. All right, but it's what we do is not. And so this conversation got started. Basically, this is a continuation of our conversation before
last week. Yeah,
where like what we do is just not in Just Blaze's top five.
Yes, it is. But okay,
it's not better than You Don't Know. It's not better than I Really Mean It. It's not better than Lord Knows. It's not better than the Dynasty intro. Right, that's four. Just not even. And like, is it really better than Hovey Baby?
Hovey Baby is probably Just Blaze's second best beat.
Wow.
Dynasty, third. Dynasty intro is first. I Really Mean It is second. Hovey Baby is third. That beat does something to me my whole life.
I will forever stand for Show Me How.
Yeah, Show You How is cool. It's good. Yeah, you started reaching here at the end. Line them up? Absolutely not.
Listen. Line them up is one of his most underappreciated beats. It's beautiful.
I don't think it's underappreciated at all because every mixtape I got in 2003 had somebody rapping over it. Oh my God. Billy Bathgate and Graf definitely rhymed over Line Them Up. Yeah, Flipside.
Flipside.
Yeah, you bugging.
I could have put Rock the Mic on there.
You bugging. Rock the Mic is better than Flipside.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. Nah, anyway. I'll give you Dynasty. I'll give you I Really Mean It.
Yeah.
I think it's on par with Lord Knows as much as I love Lord Knows.
I don't get it. I don't
ever need to hear You Don't Know ever again. I don't.
You Don't Know is perfect.
You Don't Know Part 2?
No.
People put Mom Praying on the list. Like you put on there and another listener.
Mom Praying is incredible.
It's underrated. You know what? I'm putting What Your Life Like Part 2 on there. That's a better beat than Mom Praying.
No, that's kind of overrated.
Doc. Why do you do this to me every week? Every week. All right. It's okay. Okay. All right. Maybe we need to play like. We need to play like Tekken or Street Fighter or something. Just get all this energy out. Okay. All right. Kanye West. Jesus.
Your man.
So your man.
Your man.
The Kanye West rebrand is in absolute full swing right now. It has reached a fever pitch.
If you would have told me that I Love It could have possibly played a role in this, I would have been like, no.
Bruh. That might be, that's up there with Drunken Hot Girls and whatever terrible kind, and Hate off Blueprint 3. Like, I Love It is probably like one, it's easily one of his worst songs.
And yet it's better than Ecstasy.
Don't do that.
I'm saying.
It's more polished than Ecstasy. Ecstasy is a dope beat. That's the only thing it has going for it. It's a dope sample shot.
I actually kind of like the beat to I Love It.
No.
And I Love It is catchy. It's kind of stupid. And
not kind of. It's very stupid.
Very, very problematic.
That's being nice.
Correct. I don't ever need to hear Lil Pump in anything.
Nah, that's not my bag. My son likes to sing Gucci Gang. That's about as far as we go. Yeah, that's where we are.
Did you have an intervention with him?
Nah, let him rock.
Yeah.
We just laughed at him. That's what we do in my family. We just make fun of you. Yeah, we just make fun of you. So he caught jokes. He'll be all right. Build some character. Put some hair on his chest.
But I Love It breaks some YouTube record for like most streams for a hip hop video or something like that.
Yeah, didn't it do like 17 mil in a day or something like that?
It's number 6 on the Billboard Hot 100 right now. Not the rap charts, the pop charts.
That's crazy.
Number 6.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. I would not have expected that to be like a part of the project. And so a part of the sort of the reclamation project, I should say. So we've had some announcements from Mr. West. And he's been teasing some music on his Instagram.
Yeah, I didn't get to hear that. It was a new beat, right? Something like that?
Yeah, huh?
How was the beat? Was it dope?
Well,
I'm looking for it.
He is really trying to bridge the gap between him and these kids.
Okay. Can I play this?
Can I play this commercial? Yeah, you can play.
All right. Let me hear it. I never.
It's pretty bad.
Okay, I didn't want to say that.
Yeah, and so
I was trying to figure it out, but no, that's not good.
Part of the problem is that's almost certainly like unfinished. So
yes, absolutely.
Who knows what it'll end up sounding like, but you can see where he's kind of at sonically right now.
Kanye's really good for that.
I don't really know if this is where I want Kanye to be, but who knows what we're going to get, because we apparently have at least, so he's announced three separate things, right?
Yes.
We previously talked about the announcement for what was just Throne 2. We have heard nothing else about that.
Then there'd be four things then if you're talking about Throne 2. But yes, correct. Throne 2 was the first thing he announced.
He announced Yandi.
Yes. That's September 29th.
Correct.
Actually, so then that's technically five things that were announced.
It's the same day that he's going on SNL.
Yep. So that's another announcement.
And he also announced that the album with Chance is going to be called Good Ass Job.
Which I'm actually not mad at. You know how I feel about opportunity to lyricists. But if you're going to do that, you give it to your successor.
It's a bold title.
Sure.
Because of what that title represents to longtime Kanye fans.
That's Kanye's detox.
Right. It was right. So, you know, long ago, right after college dropout, he was like, next up is late registration, then graduation, then good ass job.
Mm-hmm.
He came through on late registration and graduation.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of good ass job, his mom died. 808s.
808s.
And then the direction of Kanye swerved and changed forever. Absolutely. For better or for worse.
Mm-hmm.
So to call the collaboration project with Chance good ass job, kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I have no inside information on this.
Yes, you do, but okay.
I don't. I actually do not.
Okay.
I know that Chance has more music he has had than just the three or four songs that he put out this past summer. So yep. What I'm wondering is, like, is this a case where they had some stuff that was like semi-finished, and then Kanye came in and put a finishing touch on, and then they did a couple songs together with? Like, I'll be curious to hear. Like what the sound is of that, right? Is it going to be kind of like Watch the Throne was arguably like, here's Jay-Z on some Kanye West tracks.
Mm-hmm.
Is this going to be, here's Kanye West on some Chance the Rapper tracks?
Whatever it is, it needs to be done like now.
Oh, you know, it's not done.
Don't give me halfway done music. Don't give me rushed music. Don't. If you're rebranding, then there has to be stuff that you were already working on, as you said, that y'all are just tinkering with. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Was there another announcement that I missed?
Kanye's moving back to Chicago.
Kanye's moving back to Chicago.
And he's never leaving again. Rebrand complete.
Do you think he talked to Kim before he said that?
He's probably just getting a... That just means he's getting a place in Chicago. That's all that means.
You think so?
Yeah. Yeah. Kris Jenner's not letting him leave LA. He's not letting him leave Calabasas. Or Drake ran him off the block.
Cut the lights, paid the price.
Yeah. He was threatening to kill Kanye. Oh my God. All right. So it was Chance Project, Yandi, SNL, moving back to Chicago, Throne 2. That's a lot.
It's a lot. So we're Yandi.
Mm-hmm.
Got to leave it to Kanye, right? What's interesting is both these sort of we're assuming they're both albums. We're assuming. Good Ass Job is almost certainly a project, whether it's a 7-track Kanye special or a longer album or whatever. But and we're all assuming Yandi is an actual project.
Mm-hmm.
Both are sequels of a sort, right? Which is an interesting thing for Kanye, because his whole, like, you know, he started with that whole, right, the whole Dropout Bear and that whole thing, and then he just cut that completely, and then after that he did a swerve every time out up until recently, right? That was the Kanye thing. It was, I give you 808s, awesome. Now I'm giving you Dark Twisted Fantasy. Okay, cool. Let's pull in Jay Do Throne. Oh, you think that's what we're doing? No. Now we're doing Yeezus. Right? Like, that was the thing. He was always back and forth and back and forth. And, I mean, between the mini disc cover and the fact that it's called Yandi, right? Yay plus Gandhi. Feels like, obviously, a successor to Yeezus, right? Yay plus Jesus. And Good Ass Job, of course, theoretically fitting in that timeline of College Dropout. I mean, I got to just break my mental thing and realize he is not trying to say that this is a successor to Graduation, because he's just not there right now.
He's not.
I'm wrong. Right. Yeah. Maybe I'm wrong.
I doubt it. I think we'll get some. I think people are going to like this album.
Which one?
Both, actually, Yandi and Chances.
I gotta say, if that beat that you played the snippet of before, like that's not doing it.
No, that's not it. That's not it. Okay. I think we'll be okay. I just have this nagging feeling, Kanye's not gonna drop two duds in a row. Definitely not three. In the direction that things are going, I think Kanye. Yeah, I think people are gonna like this album, because there's, number one, there's no expectation.
If anything, it's more like, I have no idea.
So, and I asked you, and I was sending you all this stuff as all this stuff was leaking. And it's like, all right, so on Saturday Night Live, like, there's always two performances. So he's clearly doing I Love It. He has to. But what's the second one?
It's almost certainly going to be something from, you know, it'll be some new song we've never heard of, because I think the album's coming out probably right after SNL airs.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, what did he do last time when he did Pablo on SNL? He did Ultralight Beam, and he did what else?
Highlights.
Was that the first time we heard Ultralight Beam?
No, because we heard it at the season 3.
Oh, okay. Now, sometimes I go back and I watch season 3.
It was an event. It was an event.
It was a moment. It was a moment. It's something I'm going to regret that I didn't go experience in a theater.
I don't regret that I didn't go and experience in the theater. I kind of regret I didn't try to go to MSG.
Yeah.
That would have been a moment.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually being there. Absolutely.
Yeah, I have no idea. Yeah. And then, I really have no clue. Right. And like, I need something, 'cause I Love It. One thing that is interesting about I Love It is, like, Kanye's having fun in that video.
Mm-hmm.
And he's goofing off and he's trying to smile and he's doing a thing. Like, he's trying to be, I think he is being charming, and like, he's sort of, there's personality there, which Lil Pump isn't doing anything in that video. He's like a lump on a log. Like, he's just kind of, I don't know. He's not at that same level of like performance as Kanye is, but like, I don't know. I have no idea what we're getting. No clue. You know, he's got the rumored collaboration with 6ix9ine. Is it just going to be Kanye trying to make records for the kids?
Right. There's concern. I think there'll be a song or two for the kids on there.
Okay.
But, you know, people really think that The Throne 2 is with the kids.
Let me ask you this. The Throne 2 is not with Chance, right?
I hope not. I don't think so. You're not going to announce a Chance and Kanye album and then have another one.
No, I mean, like,
that's not... Or you're saying, like, The Throne 2 became...
Yeah.
It could be.
Hmm. So, do you have any expectations for this stuff?
I'm excited.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm excited. I didn't throw Kanye out with the bathwater when everything went down. I wasn't crazy about Ye, but the discography that Kanye has, we can give him a dub.
I mean,
we can give him a pass.
Never mind that. Like, I was going back and listening to some of the Wyoming projects this week.
Mm-hmm.
I think when we do our end of the year,
and we're
talking about like some of our favorite beats of the year.
Uh huh.
There's gonna be some Pusha and Nas records on that list.
I need to go listen. I listened to Nas again a few weeks ago.
Bonjour is unbelievable.
Bonjour is hard. I wish the drums were harder, but the sample is beautiful. I went back and listened to the Pusha and Drake disses
mm-hmm.
the other day.
Yeah.
Very, 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 very interesting. Like, yo, Drake's not really dissing Pusha on Duffy. He's really not.
He's mostly dissing Kanye.
He's killing Kanye and throwing jabs at Push. And then now you go back and you hear Adidon and you're just like, all right, okay, all right, relax. Come on. Cut it out.
Like, Push has been real quiet.
Think of, like, yo, that was the biggest takeaway. Pusha T was like the hero after that battle. You've dethroned the almighty Drake. You have destroyed him in a rap battle. You have ruined his reputation. He has a baby with a prostitute and all this other stuff, right?
Uh-huh.
And he went on a three-city tour, and I haven't heard anything from him since. He could be enjoying his wife because he got married. He could be doing that, which don't fault him for that not one bit. But three-city tour, you disappear. That was your victory lap, was three cities. And now you've got Drake on the biggest, hugest tour, super successful, reconciles with Meek, a lot going on, and people have forgotten that he got destroyed in a rap battle 3 months ago. Crazy.
Yeah, Drake is seemingly unstoppable at this point, right?
Yeah.
Amazingly, In My Feelings is still number one. I don't understand how. It seems like you can't stop it. It's crazy.
I don't know, man.
I was looking at Drake's tour list. I was trying to see like if he goes. I was like, wow. I wonder if he's doing a show in Virginia. Would he really try to? Could he actually squash it with Pusha T? And then I realized.
No.
And then I realized. No. Pusha T will never.
Pusha
never.
Won't do it.
No, never.
Yeah, Pusha won't do it. He's been asking for that for 10 years. Nah, he'll never do that. He'll never do that.
It's crazy how many, he's torn for a, like, it's crazy how many shows he's doing.
Yeah, didn't he do like 15 shows in Boston?
He did 3 shows in Boston. He did 2 in Philly. He's doing 2 in Miami. He's doing 2 in Dallas, 3 in Houston.
Wow.
2 in Vegas. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He's doing 7 in LA.
Whoa.
3 at the Staples Center, 4 at the Forum.
Wow.
He's doing 3 at the Oracle Arena in Oakland.
Wow. Is he bringing out Steph?
Probably. He's doing two in Vancouver.
No, he'll bring out Dream.
He's doing 2 in Edmonton.
Canada.
Canadian. Not just Vancouver. Edmonton.
Canada.
3 in Atlanta. Man. So he's touring through November. But like, yeah, you're right.
And not one in Columbus. You tripping. You bugging.
Well, you know, I don't know. I've seen that stage set up. Like, I'm guessing it's one of those things where it's like, they really love this idea of, well, we just keep it in the same arena for like 3 nights in a row.
Probably because it takes forever to set up, right?
Yeah. Well, also, if you think it, like, that's way, like, your travel costs go way down.
Yeah.
That's a,
yeah.
I mean, if you're big enough, like Drake, to pull off the, I can do 4 nights in a city, then.
Yeah. Yeah.
You need him to come to Columbus. You need like a, because, yeah, he didn't do anywhere. What did he do in the Midwest? He did Detroit.
Detroit, he probably did Cleveland.
Nope.
But he hasn't done anything in Ohio.
No, he did 2 in Detroit, 2 in Chicago, and he was up in Minneapolis, but he was like, nah.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. I could see
him hitting up some other cities, because he didn't do Denver, he didn't do anything in Ohio.
There's a secondary, there's a B market tour there. It just maybe it's without the Migos?
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to go see him in January. February. I want to go see him now.
Like, I want to see what the kids are seeing.
Yeah. I'm avoiding all the videos and all that stuff. I've seen, yeah, no, man. It's trash.
All right, man. Anything else you want? So, anything else? What did we miss about Kanye? Anything?
Nah, I think we grabbed everything. I think, so we will be talking about Kanye.
Not next week, but the week after.
The week after. First, dang, it's about to be October. Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah. So, we may, depending on what happens, we may not do a show next week. And then just, you know, be right back on it. First week of October. A Kanye project. He didn't announce a date for the Chance project, right?
Nope.
Okay. Just that one was happening.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm cool with that.
Okay.
Just put out when it's ready.
Anything else you want to talk about, man?
Nope. I think we're good.
And look at that.
Oh, we got 11 minutes to spare. Look at that. Huh.
All right, everybody. Thank you, as always, for joining us this week. Let us know what you think. Hit us up at CRS Podcast on Twitter. We can continue the Just Blaze beat discussion, but, you know, it's all good. But let us know what you think. What are your expectations for Kanye? Yeah, man. Anything else?
Nah, we're good, man. See you guys next show.